The following program was produced by an independent community producer. The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of the ECAT staff or board of directors.
There's a girl, she's a star. She's got style. Steffi Star, you see her face around the town. She's popular. Steffi Star.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Weinstein.
And I'm Meredith Keach.
And this is the show.
And we're here with Joanne Young.
Oh, hello. So happy to be here, ladies. Thank you.
Oh, Joanne, I'm so
excited.
Joanne
is very comfortable with a mic and headphones.
I know.
Look at her. She's ready to roll.
Yeah, I'm just so excited to meet you.
Meredith
was talking about the last event she just did with you, and I was so jealous.
Yeah.
That I wasn't there, and I just sat with my mouth open while she told me everything that you guys did, and we can't wait to delve into this.
Well, it's nice to be around a beacon of light and positivity.
I know. Even your skin is glowing.
Oh, please. Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because I'm feeling
welcome.
I'm feeling the effects. You know, I'm feeling the effects of aging. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a different life now. It's a little
isn't
different.
It?
Yeah.
It's a different life.
It's
tough. You think tough? Why do you think tough?
Just meaning like, okay, was that line there last week? You know what? It just creeps up fast.
It does.
So that, it's that, really. Yeah. And then my, you know, it's just everything.
Changing.
All of it. Yeah.
Body changing.
All of it. Yeah.
We have to embrace it.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Oh, good. Thanks, Marta.
Yeah. Brought you mints.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, Stephanie went to a fabulous event representing our team last night.
Yeah, that's great.
Weinstein Keach at this Coble Banker, Big Wig, our top 50 agents that we qualified for, which was really cool.
That's amazing.
Stephanie represented and hung out with all the big real estate agents of Massachusetts.
And it's just
and
a lot, right? Because we're from, you know, we're in the Easton office.
Yeah.
So we have a wide range of towns. And these other heavy hitters are in the
big
Lexington
money areas.
And Wellesley and Brookline.
Yeah.
And so to be amongst them
is
such an honor. It just shows how hard we work.
Yep.
And what a great job we do.
Well, it's nice too to be among peers, right?
Yeah.
Who inspire you. And sometimes peers don't. And so I'm happy that the takeaway, I can't wait for you to debrief with me.
I will. I really love that, Ricardo.
Was the food good?
Oh, my God.
Have you been Grill 2023?
Yes. I've never been there.
Yes. Yeah, it's good.
It was amazing.
Please tell me you didn't get fish.
I didn't.
Okay.
And you know I don't eat meat.
Okay.
I ate meat.
Oh, thank God.
I said to Joe Papagno, what should I get? He said, meat.
Yeah.
I go, fine. And then I was sitting next to Britta, so she ate meat. I said, fine.
That's good.
Some of the people at my table were drinking.
Yeah.
And so was I.
Yeah. Did you have a martini? A dirty?
Yeah.
I love dirty martinis.
Oh, my God. You should have seen the glass.
Was it
the glass was like all like frozen crystals on the outside.
Oh, nice.
Like I've never seen it. It was just every... Oh, and our new president was there.
I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Oh, my God. She's beautiful.
Oh, she is.
Oh, my God. She's a Harvard business grad.
Oh, my gosh.
She was just her words of wisdom. And, of course, Pauline.
Yeah.
It was just an incredible night. So
awesome. Our new president is like the president of all of Coble Banker.
Ooh,
like
that's massive. Amazing. Wow.
Like
yeah.
50,000 agents.
So she flew in. So she used to live here in Boston because she went to Harvard.
Right.
And she goes, I forgot how you guys think like today was a summer day.
Yeah.
She's today, like, you guys are ridiculous. She's like, it's still freezing here.
So true.
We're like, what? We're sweating. You know, I was in a full spring outfit. She's like, yeah. She goes, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does she live now?
LA.
Oh, wow.
I think so she's fancy. In LA.
Nice.
Yeah. Very fancy and gorgeous.
Oh,
so.
Kind of like Joanne.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, I love that you're wearing spring colors.
Yeah, I had to. I had to wear this today
because
it was so nice. It's like, it's supposed to rain today. But yes, I had to get my spring colors on for sure.
Well, now I feel bad. So I had a pink blazer and I gave it away.
Aww.
I think it was too long on me.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I just was like.
Opportunity to buy another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I look good in pink. I want to see what my colors are.
I had them done in the 80s.
So what's your color? Did you look color
me beautiful. I was cool, yes. Cool.
So what does that mean? You're cool color.
Like, all, it picks up like the blues and the like dark reds, rubies. Like it kind of brings out your skin tone. That's how I learned it. And the cool tones. But I go with all tones now. That was.
Well, do they change? I mean, I was a kid basically having them done. I would imagine that they change.
No, I think they're the same probably. Oh, like cools and then I think if there's fall, is there winter? I think that warms.
They would put swaths.
Yes. I think it's incredible. What that does to you.
Yeah.
I do want to get that done.
Yeah, there was one at the South Shore Plaza. Is that where you went?
My mom had a party.
Okay.
And a lady came. And
if anybody does that, can you reach out to us? Yes. I'm dying to know what my color is.
Yeah.
So, Joanne, tell us a little bit about yourself. I was I was not understanding completely until you gave me your history of what you studied and what your profession started out as and how it's progressed to where you are today.
Okay. So I'm a trained speaker. So I've been speaking for 30 years. That's what I do. That's like I've always done it. So I've done it for schools. I've done it for corporations. Like Sandy Hook was my last contract before COVID. So I was school speaker for them and I'd go out to schools and speak to students about inclusivity and train educators on suicide prevention, like noticing the signs of suicide in their students. But now I'm doing it for myself. So I speak to anyone who'll have me. Like I've got some programs for educators. I have programs for students and I'm always trying to get out there as a speaker. That's like not an everyday job, right? Yeah. So I'm always working on that. And I want to say this to if anyone's listening in the Eastern area, Josh Peach has been a huge help to me. And, you know, I've always worked for others. I mean, I've worked for myself, too. I've had speaking engagements like off and on over the years, the last five. But mainly like my main income came from, you know, being a contractor. So Josh has been really helping me try to get out there more. Like he's given me a lot of inside information. He helped me raise my price and he told me, like, he's like, you need to raise your price. And I've heard that so many times. I had a speaking coach for a couple years, too. And I was like, yeah. So Josh told me to do it. And finally, I was like, I'm doing it. And it's scary to do it. It's like, because you don't want to lose the job. So it's like, oh. But I did it. And I got it. So, like, right around Christmas, I sent him a copy of the check. And I was like, this is thanks to you, Josh, because I couldn't do it until you, like,
He's like your manager.
So, And he's, he's great. He checks in with me. So I really appreciate that. So that's that. And then the other side
of Josh Peach, real quick, Be Awesome is his company. And he's a public speaker. And he has a podcast, actually, that he does out of here, for those who are curious. B, as in B-E-A-U-S. M, right?
Yeah, think so.
It's the from the scientific chart.
Yeah. And he's a great guy.
Really?
Yeah. So, and that's what, you know, that's, I'm always working on that. And then, like, example, let me just tell you an example today. Like, I'm following up with people all the time, you know, and like, they'll say, like, yeah, like, we really need you. Like, the first email will be back, like, yeah, you know, so then I'll be like, oh, I think that's going to work, you know. Then I'll get one back, like, oh, sorry, our schedule changed and we can't fit you in this year. And it's just like, boom. So it's a hard thing to keep your energy raised all the time to do that, to keep, that's where I struggle. It's like, keep putting myself out there and keep trying to find the work. But it's sort of like you get excited and then you get rejected. So it's, and you have to come back up and do it over and over. So that's.
Sounds like our business.
Yeah, it is. It is. I talk about this with Isabel.
You might as well just get your real estate license.
Yeah, exactly. You're only as good as your last house sold. Yeah. I know. It's
But that's the nature of having your own business, being independent contractor, you know, self-employed.
Yeah.
You don't know if business is going to walk in the door or
right.
not.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be a certain personality to do that. You have to really be.
Yeah.
You know, it's work.
Yeah.
It's if anyone thinks, oh, I'm going to, you know what, I'm going to be a realtor. I think that's what I'll do. Yeah. Like, great idea.
Yeah.
It's the same with speaking or even the other stuff I do with Reiki and counseling. It's the same. So, yeah.
I am fascinated with public speaking. And I'm curious how you prepare for an engagement that you have committed. Do you use the same? Is it, you create a new one for each engagement? Is it like writing a book that you prepare for? How do you how do you create a public? Because you can't just get up there and speak off the cuff. You must do a lot of preparation.
Yes. Well, it's sort of like this. Okay, so I would say that after 30 years, I'm so used to speaking that I can speak off the cuff if I have an outline and I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
So lots of my presentations are generally around the same similar topics. But when I worked like for different companies and I learned their presentation, that's all. You just really memorize and learn it and practice it over and over until you get it. And then the more you do it, it just becomes who you are. You just know it. So it's memorization. Like for the programs I've learned for others, it's just memorization and practice. With my own stuff, it's sort of the same thing. Like I start off with that, like a little bit of memorization and practice, but then it's like, in the moment, someone might say something and then it just leads to something else. And it's sort of like off the cuff. So it's just, I feel like the best conversations, as you see here, come through no practice, no like planned thing. It's like
right.
Whatever's supposed to come through will come through. So
top
that's,
of mind.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I would have so much anxiety before going on stage.
Yeah.
Well, isn't like it the number one? I think it's the number one fear.
It is. It is.
Public speaking.
Yeah.
So you have to innately have a comfort with speaking and being in front of people.
Yeah.
And then from there, you use your years of experience, but also maybe build, you're not building a program, or are you building a program?
Sometimes. It depends. Like, so example, I spoke at Bridgewater State alumni a couple weeks ago. And so I had an outline, but I didn't know exactly what I was going to say. But I wasn't nervous because I know it just always comes. It's like, I see the audience. Who's the audience? Okay, what do they need to hear? I share my story, which leads to other people sharing their stories. And then it just kind of takes off. And then I come back to like a point that I wanted to have in the presentation, which is talking about shame stories, how we all have them. And then that leads people sharing it, which will go then into some other reason or some other backstory of how you can heal that. Like it just kind of flows. But I did have an outline, but not, I didn't memorize anything. I didn't. And it went off really well because people like to share. It's more about people being engaged. I would not want to, you know, some of the presentations I've done for work, for companies, it is just information that has to be given. Mm-hmm. Like the Brain Injury Association, I used to speak for them. That's a lot of information. But mainly when I'm speaking to audiences for my business and my mission, I want people to engage and say what they need to say.
Well, maybe you can engage with our real estate professionals that hold classes for our licenses because Meredith went to an event yesterday and she was going to poke her eye out and she ended up leaving early. So we have to take 12 credits, you know, every 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And so she wanted to poke her eye out and she left early. And I'm like, FYI, you're not even going to get credit for all that time that you stayed there yesterday.
I did actually.
What? I want to know the name.
Nope. Zip it.
And so, but she...
I left with enough time that it wasn't... I had to vomit all over Stephanie yesterday when I completed...
Because it is so boring.
This guy... And no, it's... I don't mean to disparage, right? It's not... I am grateful that they offered these classes. It was free for me. They gave me lunch. I networked with people. That's not it. It's that you have someone who stands up in the front of a room and they're just excited to talk. What you have already told me is that you engage your audience,
yeah,
right? And you have to know your audience. So in this case, you have a room full of hundreds of sales agents. These are basically a room full of ADD adults who love to communicate with people. Love to. That's our superpower.
Totally.
Right.
You can't assume that these people are just going to sit in a captive audience and hang on every one of your words because it's not in their nature to be able to do that. And so engaging, that's part of it, I think. You know, and I just, oh my God, he just stood there. He was like licking his microphone, basically.
Oh my God.
Standing up in front of the room. And I tuned him out after 5 minutes. But yet when I went to your event,
you hung on every word.
I hung on every word because you have the ability to engage your audience, but not let it get off the rails.
Right.
You're able to bring it right back and, oh yeah, here we go, in a very professional, respectful way and keep us on tap, whatever your task is. It's not like you didn't say, okay, here's our agenda. We're keeping to this. It just flowed beautifully.
Yeah.
You have a natural talent for that, which I don't think everybody has.
Thanks for saying that.
Yeah, probably most people don't have that.
Most people don't. Yes. Yeah, because you add that fear of public speaking, right?
Well, that's why I'm not nervous to public speak, because it's not about me. You know, it's not about me at all. Right. It's about you. Like, I'm trying to get in with you. I don't want, it's not about me. How do I look? Am I good? Did this work? It's like, no, I've been through all that with my, you know, I was a competitive speaker and all that stuff. But now it's like, let's just, I don't have any, I hate to say that, but I don't have any, there's no nerves. There's no like, oh my God. It's like, how, you know, it's a curiosity, like a fun, like exciting, I can't wait to see who's there, that kind of stuff. So
wait a minute, competitive speaking?
I know.
Yeah, I was in Toastmasters for years. Oh, and I was cool. in the public speaking and debating team in college. So,
oh, wow.
So we did all that. Yeah, all that stuff.
So this is a natural progression for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's not like I just woke up and was like, I think I'll do this. No, it's just sort of where it's come to. But
isn't that a cool thing about our stage of the game?
Yeah, it is.
We have some perspective to be able to look back and say, how did I get here? How did I get here today? And all that transpired, and then that comfort level. So I hear what you're saying about aging, but am I too close now? My mouth?
No, what? I'm chewing my candy.
Oh, okay. I met someone yesterday. She's from Cameroon.
Oh.
She's my second friend from Cameroon.
Wow.
And you talk to someone like
Where's Cameroon?
West Africa.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who knew?
How cool. Right?
And so I texted my other friend from Cameroon. I said, do you know my friend, my new friend?
From Cameroon.
From Cameroon. She said, no, but tell her I said hi. And you think about that, this incredible woman and all that she did in order to get here. It is mind-blowing.
Right.
But you think about all that you did to get here today and all that you did to get here today.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's pretty spectacular.
We got to give ourselves a pat on the
That's right. The That's right.
Yes. Look at us.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing to, I was just reading this morning, like on Facebook, somebody's upset. And I get, she didn't write this, but I think it's, she wants her child to go to college and they're not going to go, right? Mm. So that's a hard spot to be in because we're all under the, you know, you have to go to college, you need a degree, blah, blah, all that stuff. And I feel for her because I know how that feels, but I also believe in my heart of hearts, he will find his journey. He'll find his way.
Yes.
He'll end up in the right spot. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be this, like we believe that's all the societal pressures. We have to do this, but he'll be fine.
Yes.
So that's interesting that you say, like, I didn't know, you know, where I'd end up or what would, you know, but we'll all be where we're meant to be. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah. See, look at this positivity in us, huh?
I feel so much better already.
So then, Joanne, you weave in this wild stuff, Reiki, tarot cards, positive affirmations.
Yeah.
Tell me how you have embraced that world.
So I don't know if I told you the story, if I told at my event, but when I was in my early 30s, I guess it was, my husband was my boyfriend and his mother set me up with a Reiki appointment. She sent me to this woman's home. Now, in my experience at that point, I had always done, I was writing astrology for my high school newspaper. I was always into psychics, going to have psychic readings. Am I getting married? All that stuff. So I went to this woman's home and she's like this little tiny angelic woman with long red hair. And I'm like, hi, like, am I getting married? She's like, lie on the table, dear. You know, so I lie down. She starts Reiki on me. Never had a Reiki session. Now, I'm one of those people, too, was always like, got to get to the next thing. Do this. Do, you know, racing, running, getting another degree, doing this. I lied down on the table and was like, oh my God, I feel peace. For the very first time in my life, I felt quiet and peaceful. Like my brain slowed way down to the point that, so I was like, and she gave me these beautiful messages and all. It was amazing. And so then I got up and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, drove home. Like, I can't believe it. My mind was a lot still the same, not on overdrive, not about everything that was wrong. And I was like, that was amazing. So then I started seeing her every 2 weeks for, I think, 3 years. She became my mentor. And when I started seeing her every 2 weeks, all of a sudden, my own psychic abilities, my own stuff started to just open wide up. And I was like, okay, let me try this out. So I used to teach empowerment classes for women. I just had groups in my house. Your mom came to one long ago with Marie Green. And I was like, I'm going to do this for everybody here tonight. I'm going to try to give you guys a reading. So come on the table. This is a couple years after I started working with her. And so then I was like, I'm a psychic. I'm starting my business tomorrow. Wow. So the next day I went out and I bought a table at BJ's. It was the last one there. And I just started my business and that was it. And then in those days, that was back in 2005, 2004. I did start to advertise a little, but it was all word of mouth. And then I started working in different centers and I met a lot of people that way and stuff too. So that's how it started. But it is not that now. I do not call myself a psychic. I do not. If you come to my house, I will not give you a psychic. I don't do it for anyone I know. It just don't have the same abilities. It kind of has just progressed from, do I really want to be the person who tells you like, okay, Meredith, you're going to sell 10 houses this year. Stephanie, you're going to get married to your boyfriend probably in 2 years. No. And then if I'm wrong, like I'm only as good as that, or I just didn't want to be judged by, and I feel like it just kind of went away. It's sort of like I used to be able to give all kinds of stuff and now I don't have that same, it's just not like that anymore. So yeah, I had some clients come, a mother and daughter that I used to also go out and do those house parties, you know, that was a huge thing I did. And a mother and daughter from one of the house parties from 15 years ago came to see me two or three weeks ago. And I feel like they left disappointed because I can't do it anymore. I can't say, well, your son's going to end up married. I'm like, I just don't. Like, she wanted to know some information that I couldn't receive. And so I feel like I'm not the same as I was 15 years ago. I'm like, I'm sorry, but I feel like I'm better now because I don't. It's more than that. It's like, I want people to heal. I want people to look within themselves or trust themselves that they have the answers. You know, things change so much. Free will is at play. Like, there's so much to it. I don't want to be that person that is, you know.
Right. So basically.
But meanwhile, I need you ladies to pick a card.
Oh, I will. Well, I was just going to say, I feel like spirits have moved on, right? The spirits are like, okay.
Yeah.
She's done enough for us.
Yeah.
Well, let's use someone else.
Yeah. That's it. So
it's,
I do.
It's so much.
Yeah. It's counseling with my Reiki, or sometimes I don't even do counseling with people. It depends what people are up for and open to. I think I can usually judge. Like, someone is either on the edge, they don't really know if they want to go into that next level of healing, and they maybe just want to see what Reiki is. I have a lot of regular clients who've done a lot of deep work, so.
Can you unblock my chakras?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
My chakras are so blocked.
Are they?
My weight chakra.
Oh.
I don't know which chakra that is, but it is blocked.
Yeah, I got
it
that too.
It needs to be released. I need energy release.
Yeah.
And that's. Yeah. That would be Reiki.
Yeah, yeah. Reiki can do that for sure. Oh. Yeah, yeah.
I got back work. I get regular back work done by a lady here in Easton.
And did you say back work?
Yeah, you know, she does back massage.
Yeah.
Work, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
But
did you get one in Vegas, a back massage?
No, oh. I got the facial.
You missed out, though.
I'm pretty good with the... I had a massage.
Kimmy would refuse the back massage. But
anyway,
me,
yeah. So my back massage lady...
Yeah.
Therapist, whatever you want to call it. She's trained in a whole bunch of stuff. And one day she did Reiki and I didn't know what she was doing. And it was the most magnificent experience I've ever had. Mm. I was like, Cindy, what was that?
Did you just say Cindy?
Yeah.
Okay. Cindy Northrup?
I don't know her last name. She's just my lady.
Is she at Bay State or is she at
Novelle?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cindy's my person too.
Yeah.
So Cindy knows what I do. She's known me for years. I'm her client. A few months ago, she goes, can I give you a little Reiki? What? You're asking me now, Cindy? So she did it. I'm like, I just laughed. I was telling someone that story. How she goes, maybe she didn't want to do it because she knows you do it, whatever. I love, Cindy's amazing.
She really is.
She's the best.
She's so talented.
She is.
So talented.
So
and that
wise.
Feeling, Steph, it's similar to having acupuncture, in my opinion,
yeah.
when I've
yeah.
had where... You lay yeah. on the bed and you're just, you have a peace and calm that is indescribable.
Yes.
I suppose the way I could describe it is when you've had an amazing sleep, right?
Yeah.
You go to bed, you have an amazing sleep, you're warm, your body is so rested. And when you're slowly waking up, that calm all over your whole body that's just warm and you don't have thoughts
yes.
invading your brain, you just are enjoying that sense of calm.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
That's perfect description. That's great. That's great. I love that.
Can you do it to us now?
I can, yes. But I don't think it has the same effect when you're standing, like when you're doing other things. But I've done chair Reiki at like a different events. You just kind of, yeah.
You should come to our office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's pull a card.
Yeah, let's this pull part, a card. So this is the other thing, too, about the cards. Now, I went to an event yesterday. I spoke at a networking event yesterday. And I said to everybody, like, I don't know where people are with Oracle cards. These are how I look at them. They're beautiful, loving angel cards. And they have messages for you. So I, again, part of what I did was interpret the cards for people and all that. I will give you some insight, but I feel like it's sort of like you have an intention. You have something you know about yourself. Sometimes the cards can give you that, you know, answer. Like, okay, you know, say, your example, you're fighting, you're having a really difficult time in your marriage or in a friendship or a relationship. And then all of a sudden, but you're not really doing much about it, but you know it's behind you, you know it's in there. And then you'll get the card like relationship or look within or look deeper. And then you're like, oh, is that about that? It's kind of like an insight for you to look deeper into yourself. That's how I look at them.
That makes sense.
And yeah, so the lady, one of the ladies at the networking event, and I respect everybody's totally opinion, like, okay, this girl's got these paper cards and it's going to tell me something about myself. Well, if you're open, it might, right? So I'm like, whatever you feel. She's like, I don't believe in those cards at all. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. You don't need to pick one. Do you? She's like, no, I want to pick one. So then at the end, she's leaving her job. Her corporate job and starting her business on Monday, right? Her first day. She's been doing the side business. And then she comes at the end to me and she goes, I don't know. I might believe in this. It was like it was like the perfect two cards. I can't remember what they were, but it was like she was shocked. So
wow. A light bulb lit up for her.
Yeah.
So sidebar, Joanne, are you wearing OPI red?
I don't know. This is Dazzle Dry.
Oh.
And I'm not sure which color it is because they kind of show me the
wheel. How are you liking Dazzle Dry?
I love it. I've been doing it for a long time.
One of my best friends swears by it.
Yeah, I love it.
She says you should do it, man.
It's because it lasts 2 weeks and it dries in 5 minutes.
And it's healthier for you,
yes,
right?
That's what they say.
I mean, who knows,
right? Right. That's the thing.
Am I supposed to look at it?
Oh, yeah, you can look at it.
No peeky.
Any birthday coming up for you, Stephanie, or an important person have a birthday coming up?
Not that I recall.
Okay. What's yours, Meredith?
May 26th.
Oh,
coming nice. Up.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of reading on mine.
Oh, I was what is
your card?
So
trustworthy guidance.
Oh, that's you listening to your inner guidance and wisdom.
Oh,
like
mirror.
when you said, get me out of this meeting early, that was your guidance. Get out.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so the cards can be just something that you might want to know or something that you are interested in hearing. Like usually when people come into my house for a session, I have them pull a few cards to start. Like, what do we need to know? Then we go on the table, and then we usually wrap up with some cards, too.
So in Joanne's event,
yeah,
I'm going to say it was random, but it's not random because Joanne ran the whole event. But it seemed all of a sudden she'd be like, okay, I want you to pick a card.
Oh.
And she would weave this throughout the night. We'd eat dinner. She'd do her whatever thing. We'd share information. And then you'd pick a card, and it was like... It was like you had like sprinkled like magic throughout the night.
Aw, thanks for saying that. Thank
it was
you.
So cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's what I want for people. You know, like, I mean, again, so yesterday, what day was it? I'm going to have you guys do what we did at my last event today. But I have this Crate and Barrel ice bucket. And I've been using it for years as like for everything. Like we put affirmations in it, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, listen, ladies, if you can believe for 5 seconds in this Crate and Barrel ice bucket's going to bring you your wish, it's going to happen.
Right.
But who cares if it doesn't? Like, just go with it. Like,
yeah.
You know, I believe we create our reality. So like if you can just open up to a little magic or looking at things differently and having a better day, a better life, a better, you know, I think that's really what I'm
Well, I think
about.
It's positivity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So many people in our lives are not positive, and you're a beacon of positivity. Steph, you are too.
Well, I try, but not on Wednesday mornings when I complain.
Well,
sometimes I have to get it out.
So oftentimes we start the podcast with Stephanie's complaints for the day, but I don't think necessarily that that's not positive. It's just getting something off your chest and then we move on.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Good.
Right.
That's great.
Drag the whole show down.
No. Try not to anyway.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like we all have to do our best not to complain. I think I heard you guys in one of your podcasts talk about that book, right? Do you know the book, No Complaints, Complaint-Free World?
No.
Yeah. If that book, in one of the courses that I was taking online, that book was recommended to, it's life-changing if you can stop complaining, because we all do it all the time. It's just what we do.
Yep.
You can get a bracelet. In this book, they talk about getting a bracelet and you wear it until you stop complaining. And then if you complain, you keep changing it over every day. So my best friend and I started listening to the book and got the bracelets. Like, we just had a bracelet. It wasn't one we got from them. I mean, you can't even get 10 minutes in. It's like, oh, you're changing the bracelet. It's just, we're all wired that way.
It really is. It's incredible. So I think I posted on Facebook one day, because I was out one night and I had a challenge with my friend. And I said, on this date, we are not going to complain. Mm. She was a wreck.
Maybe I heard that.
You might have.
Did you talk about that? Yeah.
She goes, I can't do it. I'm like, yes, you can. And we are going to do it. And I did post on Facebook. I'm like, who's in? And everyone's like, there's no way I can do it. People,
super hard.
It is so hard not to complain all day. I mean, honestly, I love complaining.
Mm.
I love it.
Yeah.
I grew up with a complaining mother. Mm. It's like what I do. So I do love to complain, but I mean, I don't, it's just, it is so hard. You guys should try it out there listening. You should try not to complain for one day.
I know.
Like, to wake up and not complain, like, oh, I had the worst sleep. Mm. Or, oh, I have the worst day ahead. Oh, I can't stand my body. I have nothing to wear. Like,
that
leads
us into this. This is the rose-colored glasses. I have a pair for you too, Adam.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you need them, if you want to put them on too. Yeah, so with the rose-colored glasses, though, it's not – that's the thing I want everyone to know too. It's not – spiritual bypassing, like, oh, life is grand, it's so wonderful, right? Or toxic positivity. It's sort of like shifting your focus, because we can all focus on what's negative, but when you really start to focus on what's positive, you start to see more and more of that coming in.
So how do you get yourself out of,
can we stop for one second? I just need you to define what, I don't know what toxic positivity
is. Toxic positivity is like not ever acknowledging the shit, like that that there's a lot of negative stuff in the world. Like, look at, we're surrounded by a lot of negative things. I get that 100%. But this is for our own, like, okay, we can still control what we can control and focus on the positive rather than getting dragged down. Like, I learned in later, and you know, when I started this whole journey, like, stop focusing on the things like that are out in the world that you can't control, that are going to bring you fear and that are going to bring you down. If you can do something to affect change, by all means, take action and do it. But if you're just focusing on that, like, oh, it just brings you down. So you have to kind of shift your focus in this way. But again, so toxic positivity is not acknowledging anything's, you know, just, ooh, everything's great. Okay. My relationship's great, you know, without addressing what's really there.
Well, okay. I stopped watching the news.
Yeah.
Same.
Me too. And I don't read it. Yeah. Does anyone even read a newspaper anymore?
Not me.
No.
Yeah.
So how do you change your mindset when you wake up and you are just having a bad day? Like, you can't get out of your own way. And you know, it's not anything really in particular. You're just down.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just your mindset. So how do you
Some days, honestly, I feel like you just have to be in that, though. You do. You can't just, I have days like that where I'm like trying to get the gratitude. Gratitude's the best way to start it. Like, wow, I'm so grateful. Some days you can't. Some days your whole emotional, physical, just not good. And you just have to sit with it. Sometimes I just sit in it and until it passes and know that it will pass. Or, of course, if you can take a walk, if you can get your body moving,
right,
that helps, I think, everything, you know.
I walked a couple miles the last couple of nights.
And?
That's good.
8 to 9 at night, which is
8 to 9? Outside?
Yeah.
I hope you have a light on you.
So my kids had practice up at the high school.
Oh, so you walked the track.
So I walked the track.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's fine.
Ladies, it was magnificent.
Right.
Yes.
The cool air.
Yeah.
Being at night. And I slept better.
Yeah.
I'm amazed.
So good.
I thought it would like jack me up or like, it was
so great.
Wonderful. I think to your point, well, I'm a huge advocate of moving your body.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. For mental, physical, emotional well-being. It's so important. But mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough question, Steph. How do you get yourself out of a funk? Especially if you know it's or seasonal.
Yeah.
Rain.
I'm so affected by that. The eclipse.
The eclipse.
Yeah.
A full moon.
I think people were crazy.
It's been wild the last few weeks.
So the energy has been thick and crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not today, though.
No, today. Today I'm fine.
Feel free.
Yeah. Yeah. Today's a good day. I agree. I agree. Definitely.
I'm wearing a pant with pleats in it, too.
I had a black pleated pant on.
This is new experience. Have you tried them yet?
Yeah, I tried a pair yesterday. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I whipped mine off this morning. I can't do it. They look phenomenal on you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But it takes a lot to embrace this new look.
A pleat.
Yeah.
A pleat and a wide leg.
I know. Yeah. I love a wide leg.
I know. That's what I tried on, too.
A trouser is fabulous.
Yeah. And I just couldn't. I'm just thinking I'm not used to it. I think you're right. Yeah. But that looks great, which you're on today.
It does. Yeah. This look is from the 80s. But and we all know how much we made fun of the look. And
right. Now I can't believe pleats are back in. The pair I had on had a little bit of elastic waistband in the back.
Oh, I wish I had
them. Yeah, so did that. I did too.
And I'm like, I can't do it. I cannot wear elastic waist pants with a pleat.
Oh,
oh, my leggings I'm in every day. I couldn't do it. So I whipped them off and then I'm like, I don't know.
It's a transition.
It really is.
Yeah.
When you change styles with pants.
It is.
Yeah, you've been doing a good job.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I tried hard.
Yeah.
It takes a lot.
Totally.
Because you have to change your whole look too.
Right. Yeah.
When you get a wide leg, you can't wear a big boxy top, which it's the opposite of the look we've been sporting for a while, which is a big boxy top and leggings.
Yeah. Well, so true.
If you're like Alexa, you'll wear a bodysuit every single day.
Yeah, well, she's, preteen body, basically.
A trouser.
Yeah, a trouser.
That's nice. That's nice.
Mm. I'm feeling good right now.
So do I.
So let's talk about you two. Now, how long have you been together?
I'm scared. Mm.
How long have we been together? And there's different iterations of that. So I've told the story a couple times when I completely fell in love with Stephanie. We were at a work party. And I had three children under three. They were like infants. And I went to a work party, Christmas, and I was wearing an ugly sweater vest. And this was before ugly sweater parties and that it was a fun thing to wear. But I guess I thought I was on the cusp of that or the edge of it because I wore it to that party thinking it would be funny. Only I sat next to our office manager at the time and I said, Joe, I don't think anybody knows that my sweater is a joke. And he said, no, nobody does. And I'm thoroughly entertained that you're wearing that right now. And everybody thinks it's what you were looking for. And in walked Stephanie Weinstein wearing a strapless sequined jumpsuit.
From BB.
It was gorgeous. And she was just what we talk about, this light of positivity, just this beacon of fun. And what often happens is women hate her right from the beginning.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I started at my office. Yeah. Everyone hated me.
Hate her. Because
I was skinny.
Yeah.
I was cute.
Yep.
I was fun.
Yep.
I was nice.
Yep.
And people hated me.
Yeah.
Really?
Women are funny about that.
Yeah.
Right?
I get that.
Yeah. Women are funny. And
one of the agents, a few months later, she goes, I hated you when you first started. She goes, no, I really like you.
Yeah.
I said, thanks.
It's true.
Diamond.
But I thought she was just awesome. And I said to myself, I need to be friends with her. I like to surround myself with, positive people, fun people.
Definitely. People that inspire you.
Yeah. Yeah, why would you want to surround yourself with people who bring you down?
Right.
That's not fun.
No.
Well, some people do like to hang out with people like themselves, like if you're a chronic complainer.
Yeah.
And again, I do enjoy complaining, but I don't complain all day. But a lot of those times, those people like to stick together.
Of course.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, I don't know, we must have known each other at the office or something.
Yeah.
And then Stephanie went through every friend she possibly had to join her on her TV show. And everybody backed out. Everybody said, sure, I'll do it, and then didn't. And then I happened to be sitting in the office with her one day, and she said, Keach, would you want to do a TV show with me? And I said, yes.
Aww.
But I said, I need to give birth first because I'm 8 months pregnant and I'm not going to do it right now. So after January, I'll do it. And that was it. Aww. And we had a TV show for
a decade. That was it. That's right. We've been together ever since.
How long have you guys been a team?
2 years?
We'll be 2 years this year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. Partnership's great. A lot of fun. That's it.
Yeah. We had done a lot of deals together anyway. Mm-hmm. And we were always in the office every day together. So it just made sense.
Yeah.
Nice. How long have you been in real estate?
12 years.
Nice. How about you, Meredith?
23.
Oh, wow. So is that your first, like, is that what you did right out of school?
No, I'm a teacher by training. I taught high school English.
You did?
Yep. Oh. And then I got swept up in the internet boom. My girlfriend was a recruiter. I had moved back here and she said, I need you to go work in public relations. I need bodies. That was back, remember, in like early 2000 mm-hmm. when companies just were clamoring for people to come work for them because there were all these startups
yep.
in the internet world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, okay, I don't know what public relations is. And then there I was. I went and did public relations for a while. And then I just decided I needed to be my own boss.
Yeah, that's good.
And, you know, when you're young, I guess at any point in time you can do it, but I just did it.
That's good.
I didn't really think about it.
Yeah.
I got my license. I went and worked for a manager. It was DeWolf and then became Coble Banker. And I don't know.
Here you are. Superstar.
Right? Yeah. You set a framework, mm-hmm. hard work. Sacrifice, yeah. discipline, and your career will take off in whatever you want to mm-hmm. do.
Yeah.
I believe that.
That's true. It's true. Definitely. Definitely.
I mean, there are some wins along the way, right? Mm-hmm. I came back to the area where I grew up.
Yeah.
I had familiarity there for me. Also, name recognition. I was fortunate to have the degrees that I have, that I work towards, and that was encouraged at home. And so I'm not going to say it wasn't without community that all of a sudden, right. you know, I just worked hard and came here. But
I love this town. I love Easton.
Same.
Yeah. It's a great community.
It really is.
It is. Definitely. Definitely.
I grew up in Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon's
But
nice
you
too.
Raised your kids in Easton.
I did, and they loved it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. They both went through the school system and they did great and got into their colleges of choice.
That's good.
Even though Alexa did not want to go. She didn't want to go to college.
Did she?
She didn't from the beginning?
No.
Where did she go?
Well, so I decided to take her on a Florida trip so we could look at Florida schools because I went to USF.
Okay.
Which is very hard to get into now.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. You can barely
get in. So was UMass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So hard to get in. Totally. Anyway, so we took a Florida trip. We looked at all the schools. She hated it. One of the schools, it was all blonde girls wearing dresses. She's a brunette. She didn't wear dresses. She was crying. She didn't like it. I said, fine. We come home and she said, I'll just think about it. So then 2 weeks later, she came and she said, I've made my decision. And I said, yeah. And she said, UMass, Dartmouth. I said, excuse me? And so sure enough, move-in day, she's looking around and she goes, this looks like Auschwitz. And I said, this probably isn't going to go very well. And then sure enough, it did not.
Aww.
And she would cry and she just didn't like the food. I said, you're not there for the food. And she didn't like her dorm. I said, you're not there for the dorm. She didn't like the people. I go, well, maybe it's you. And I tried everything. I went down and I took she and her roommate out for dinner. We went shopping. I tried tough love, regular love. I ignored. I yelled. I did everything. She wasn't having it.
Yeah.
Yep. So after that, she said, if you make me come back here again, I will kill myself.
Oh, God. Aww.
Which she's dramatic like
that.
She is
very dramatic.
Yeah. So I said, fine. You can come home, but you have to do something. So then she enrolled at Bridgewater State in the teaching.
Good.
To be a teacher. And she got a nanny job. And she was living at home, commuting. She was in her glory.
That's
she was
awesome.
Waking up, getting her Starbucks. She was nannying. She was making tons of money. She was going to Bridgewater. She was taking her courses. She was doing great. And then she came back to me and said, I feel like I'm missing out. I want to go to UMass Amherst. And I said, okay, well, you have 4 years to graduate. And that's what Dad and I will do. So if you can't do it in 4 years, then the rest of it's on you. So for whatever reason, she didn't get into UMass, even though she had all A's at Bridgewater State.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, competitive.
We did have to put a call into someone.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And so she got in because she should have got in.
Yeah.
She had all A's. There was no reason for her not to get in.
Right.
Anyway, so she ended up going to UMass and graduating, and it was a lot. And she had to take some summer courses. And the Spanish was a lot, and I can't even go into how she passed that final. Anyway, so at the end of the day, she graduated. A couple months later, she goes, you know, Mom, she goes, I should have just stayed at Bridgewater State.
It's always a look back, right?
And then you know what my son said to me? Because he ended up graduating UMass Amherst too. He goes, you know, Mom, I feel so bad. I said, why? He goes, I didn't learn one thing at college.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, Gregory, I get it. Because guess what? Neither did I. Sorry, but I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned nothing. And you can only learn as much as your professor knows.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's or true. What you're willing to take in.
Right. That's true too. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But
yeah.
I mean, I was never really a student. Although when I went to USF, I got on the dean's list.
Oh, that's good. Mm. That's good. Yeah.
Well, don't you think though, I mean, you could say you learned nothing, but imagine if you were here today and I do this often, think of what if I hadn't gone to school for all those years?
Yeah. That's true.
Would I be where I'm at?
No. Right. Yeah. I mean, I only had classes on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm.
That's yeah, good.
I was at the pool.
Yeah.
I was, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. My son's looking at colleges. He wants to look in Florida too. So we didn't start yet, but we have a list of colleges.
Well, Tony, my boyfriend, he's taking his daughter down he's next week. She wants to go to Florida.
Mm.
Everybody wants to go to Florida.
Is she a junior or a senior?
She's a junior.
Nice.
So they're going to U Florida and yeah. I don't know.
U Miami.
FAU, yeah. U Miami. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
of interest for your son in Florida?
He just
the weather.
He's got some strict guidelines. Oh. Like, you know, big school with a football team.
Okay.
the counselor is like, "Oh, Jason, do you play football?" He's like, "No." It's like my kid is the social.
Right, he wants to have a good time.
He's all about that.
Right.
So, that's his thing. He wants to do business. He doesn't really know what. So we'll see. And again, you know, he wants to leave the state, but he has no idea what that's going to be like. You know, it's like, sounds good. It's Florida and California right now, but we'll see. Like once he gets it, we're like encouraging whatever.
Right.
But we'll see how that.
Let me just tell you, because I've been through it. The homesickness.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
With not just Alexa. Forget Alexa. She was only in Dartmouth. But all of her friends that traveled and that ended up leaving the faraway school to come back closer. It is hard.
Mm,
it's hard that first semester
to
be so far away from your mom or your dad or your grandparents.
Well, don't you think it's the day-to-day activities? That's what I missed when I was away.
Yeah.
It was the birthdays or the little things that we, you know, the first day of spring here, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's those little pieces, the smell of fall,
right?
Or the feeling when you have a snow day.
Well, that was you.
Mm. Where did you go, Meredith?
Oh, UMass.
Oh, you okay? Yep. Yeah, Amherst. Yeah,
yep.
yeah.
Which that was
now,
me.
Yeah, that was you.
UMass Amherst is Ivy League now. You know that, right?
Yes.
Oh my
totally.
God,
it really is.
Right, you cannot get.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
It's really tough. I mean, my friend's kids, like three of them have gone there, but one of them had to transfer. It's like what he had to transfer. Like it's crazy.
Yeah.
So
well, you think of how expensive the schools are now, so it forces everybody to make a hard look at what's a more affordable option. I think that the schools are pricing themselves out of their return on investment.
I know.
90 grand?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, so $360,000?
Going to be college?
No, that's...
Like, I don't know, because I feel like if you follow your passion, you know, obviously if you're going to be a surgeon, you have to go to school and a lawyer, but... If you follow your passion in something else, not sure really college is necessary.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm all for education for the sake of education as well. I think that it's good for the population to be educated. But I think that these big ticket prices are forcing most people to take a hard look.
Honestly, for Gregory to learn everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like that was a punch in the gut for me.
What does he do?
Well,
what
so he took his, he devised his own major at UMass.
Okay.
So that's something that you can do. So he did video marketing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is he doing that now?
He is.
Oh, that's great.
He's amazing. He's really good at it. When he first started, I'm like, no. I said, Gregory, this sucks. And he's like, what? I mean, I had to be honest with him. But now I can truly say he is awesome. He has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he has
a good eye. He's so easy to work with.
That's awesome.
He taught everything himself.
That's so good.
I know. So, which is fine. Yeah. You know, and honestly, I'm fine with it because guess what? He met his fiance at UMass.
Yep.
And I couldn't have asked for a better fiance.
Oh,
yeah, she's the cutest, sweetest thing. So that was great. And he has, you know, lifelong friends from school.
Yeah, that's
so that's important too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of benefits, but it is of course challenging to so many people too, you know, just pricing and just everything.
It's a tough lot. Yeah. And those applications. Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't envy you, ladies.
I know. It's, yeah.
I'm so
yeah
glad I'm out of that.
How old's your son?
He's 16, so he's a junior.
He's a junior.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he right still there has, yeah, yeah.
And you literally, you really don't know what you want to do.
No, no.
I didn't know I was going to be a real estate agent.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Right?
Mm-mm.
No. Nope. Yeah.
But isn't that the way for most people?
Mm-hmm. I think,
you know,
so.
So kinda, how can you pick a major when you don't even really know what you want to do?
Well, I'm going to advocate for education here. One, education teaches you how you learn. And you might not think it does, but you, like Gregory, for example, knowing that he can go onto YouTube and learn something. Yeah. Not everyone is a visual learner.
Right.
And he's able to then do that. And that inquisitive nature is going to allow him to continue to do that. Now, there are things that I had to take classes in that just didn't make sense.
Well, you have to take yeah all your required courses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, art history and all that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. World religion. Yeah. Which is good to know, though. It is good to have like an understanding of the world in a broader perspective. I feel that. I was a guidance counselor and a college recruiter. So I've been in that world, but I feel like it's, I don't know. It's just.
Well, it's a different world now with the internet, right? Yeah. And with YouTube. When we were growing up, we didn't have that.
Right, right.
You know, so this is an entire generation who has YouTube. And I think to your point, Stephanie, that is going to continue to change education, right? People are going to say $90,000 a year. How is that going to benefit me? University, what is that going to do for me when I get out, aside from education, just for the sake of education and curiosity and learning about things that I would never have thought of in that capacity? I think it's the expense.
Well, it's, that's true, yes, right? And you could graduate college and have $100,000 in debt.
Absolutely.
And
then, more. It's and $360, then, $90 a year now.
Right. 70, yeah. And then not even be able to get a job in your field because it's you don't make enough money. So then you have to go bartend or waitress. Yeah. Like that, it doesn't even make sense.
I know. Yeah. That's true. That's what I agree with for sure. For sure. Yes.
Well, and you look at the budgets that the schools have now, even just they're really, because they're a business, so they're trying hard to attract any students. So you walk there, the landscaping is impeccable.
Okay. Yeah.
The meal plans are impeccable.
Right.
The living areas are impeccable. Mm-hmm. And that's lovely if you can afford it.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And most kids are taking out loans.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And most parents cannot afford to pay for the kids to go.
That's true. That's very true.
And, you know, this was... Yeah, it's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
It is. The last school I worked for was Mass College of Pharmacy and Health Science. And the students there, though, were trained in specific fields. And they started off with internships. Like, their job placement rate was huge. So I felt really, like, great working for that school. Like, I know these students are going to get jobs. It's not like they're going to be, they're really going to get these. They're trained to get jobs. And they, from the beginning, they had professor mentors who worked in the field still. So they would get them connections. It was amazing to see what that school produced for job, you know, job rate for them is truly, you know, something I believe in.
But, you know what I would suggest? Oh, were you finished?
I'm just going to say, like, business. Okay, Jason, we'll spend $76,000 a year for your business degree. What are you going to do? You know, it's a different,
it's whole like, different. Then what?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I see your point 100%.
I suggest going to a local college, a community college for the first 2 years, right?
Yeah, so that is a really, truly great idea.
So you can get all those credits that you have to take out of the way and not waste it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not, and then for your last 2 years, go to whatever college you want. It's number one, it's going to be easier to transfer.
Yes.
Right. Into a college. And it's going to cost you way less money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
College advice right here from Stephanie Weinstein. Yes.
There you go.
All right. Should we do another card?
Yes, I think it's time. Well, my friend's son, he bartended in Aspen for 2 years.
Oh, that
and did online community college. And now he transferred to UMass.
Yeah.
So he's doing amazing. And he had a lot of money from those 2 years in Aspen.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I loved UMass, what else? By the way.
Oh, yeah.
I loved every minute that I was there.
Well, I mean, who didn't love South Florida?
I would live there if I could.
You know what else is really cool? My friend's daughter is, she's got four boys, and she lives in a camper. and they are traveling the United States, and awesome. She homeschools.
Oh, I love it.
So every day they're like in a different location and they're learning so much and they're not stuck in a classroom.
That's awesome.
Retreat.
Have you been planning on going on a retreat?
No, but I want to.
What so mine's this? Confidence. St. Michael the Archangel.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm not understanding the two of these together, my trustworthy guidance and confidence.
Be confident in your own ability to make decisions for yourself, like your own wise guidance. You can trust yourself. Like probably with your kids, you have a great intuition of what's up with them and kind of like having confidence in that, even other decisions maybe around what you're doing with your business or anything like that.
I like it.
I feel like I'm going to go on a birthday
retreat. Yeah, birthday retreat.
Right? Next year. Next year, February. Yes. Yep, birthday retreat for me.
Yep.
I'm
absolutely.
In. Totally in.
Absolutely.
Now, Joanne, do you use the cards in your own personal life?
I do, but it's not the same. You know, I do pick cards and stuff, but I work online too. So I am doing cards all day long.
Oh, right.
So I don't, because I get confused. So if I need to have something, I have a lot of friends I can call or just even take some cards, show them a screenshot and they'll be like, oh, I think it's this. So yeah, on your own, it's kind of like.
Interesting.
Well, do you understand the cards you picked for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, opening the heart chakra, I'm always working on that, and blessings of abundance, like we all have.
I love that.
Blessings of abundance coming to us.
Those are good cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said something to me at one point, Stephanie.
Don't put me on the spot.
I'm trying to think exactly what it was. No, but the gist of it was don't diminish abundance in your life. Try not to, and don't teach that to your kids, that abundance is a good thing. So when you know, it's sort of this post-depression era mentality, holding on to everything.
Oh, yeah.
And also generations before us coming down that, you know, we're not worthy or we should just accept what we're given. And when you have abundance, accepting abundance can be a challenge, I think. Right?
I couldn't say it 96,000 times better. Yeah, because these beliefs within us are so deep rooted too that you don't even see like how you're really, you know, like say you have this great abundance. Oh, then something happens and you lose it. How did that happen? You know, there's definitely rooted from our ancestors and from how we grew up and what we learned. Couldn't be more true, yeah. You know.
And even as a female culture, right? We're talking about how every female hated Stephanie out of the gate.
Oh, I didn't do that.
She was fine with it, I will tell you.
Never.
But there's that too, right? Because she has abundance of positivity, radiates that. And instead of other women accepting that and bringing that into their lives, they would push back and say, I don't like her because of it. It's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting for sure. Sometimes people can't handle your light because they're not there. So they don't want to be, here you are, this beacon of light. They don't want to see that because they're not in that. So they can't, you know.
Right.
They can't
see your light.
Yep.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep. Like, why are you so happy? You know, like that kind of, people have said that to me in my life for sure. It's like, you know, it's because they can get to that place. So they don't want to see a reminder of that, I guess I'd say. Yeah.
Right. You remind me.
Or who do you think you are, you know, because you're confident and strong and putting yourself out there. So maybe that was part of it too.
Maybe.
You beacon of light, you.
Stop.
It's nice that you guys connected though and you have a good thing.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Right?
That's great.
Yeah. It's way more fun. It's way more fun to have Peaches on the team.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. Because then we can bounce things off of each other.
Yes.
Yeah. Way better.
So we had the ladies from Medical Aesthetics in here, Allison Daly and
I love them.
Lindsay Galluli.
Meredith, you have like 30 seconds.
Oh, and they were a lot of fun. They had a beautiful partnership too.
Yeah.
And I think it worked similarly.
You're going to have to come back. We didn't have enough time. We got off topic with schools. I didn't want to talk about schools.
Did I do that?
Probably.
Oh, sorry.
I was a college recruiter. You guys knew that somewhere, so you brought it up.
Oh God. There's so much more we need to talk to you about. You'll have to come back.
Okay, sure.
You'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thank
I'm
going
to go put the sun in my face. It's beautiful outside.
I know. It's gorgeous.
I have to go to the office.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks,
Julie.
Bye. Bye, ladies.
Bye.